the summer.
So she worked all summer and shut down.
Yeah, of course.
She's American. She's got a host from here, right? That she goes to, she's from,
Let's trim this conversation now.
No.
Okay, we're in Romans chapter 12. I know it's been a few weeks, so we looked at Romans 11 and saw again God's sovereign plans and how he rules the nations and how he had chose Israel for a special purpose and that he's not done with the nation of Israel and that he will bring salvation in a mighty way. And we finished up in Romans 12, 1 and 2, in the light of God's absolute authority over all things, that he rules the nations of him and to him and through him are all things, it says in the last verse of Romans 11, because he is, everything is about him, and that we can't figure him all out, and we must therefore come to him and surrender and give our whole being to him. And so we did look at Romans 12, 1 and 2 for a minute, in closing, but I do want to come back to it just for a few minutes and look at a couple of things in the first three verses here in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3, or 1 and 2, really. So let's read those two verses, and then we can go over that a little bit. So, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your... Oh, I'm using the NLT right now, but we can use the NKJV. Is that what you're doing? Okay. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, this was probably one of my two favorite verses in the scriptures, and because lots of people are always trying to figure out what God's will is. And I guess all of us would like to know a little more clearly. I wonder what God's will is for my life. But there's the only way we can discover God's will is if we are willing to surrender. If we're willing to yield to him, then we will know what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. There are three things here in these two passages that God calls us to yield over and surrender over to him. The first one is your body, right? Give your bodies to God. Is that what it says here? Mm-hmm. To give your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice. So that means that I am to give my body. That's what the essence of what my body is. It belongs to God. And there are many scriptures that speak about keeping our body holy. In other words, not to be doing things that are with the body that we shouldn't be doing. Sexual activity being with a husband and wife relationship, as far as that part goes. Taking care of our body because it's not ours. God owns it. And that means, you know, watching what we eat. It really does. Treating it the way that we're supposed to. Because our body is called the temple of the Holy Spirit, where God has come to dwell. So, give your bodies to God. That's the first thing. The second one is to give your mind to God. See that in Romans 12, 2. By changing the way that you think. Do you see that? And so that our minds are actually given over to God as well. And when we look at that passage in Romans 12, 2, in the New King James, it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we surrender our bodies to God, that he is in control of it. We surrender our minds to God, so that he is in control of it, right? Is that what it's teaching here? Mm-hmm. Our minds are transformed. We're not thinking the way the world thinks any longer or the way we want to think. Instead, we are allowing God to have the control of our mind. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, early in the chapter, I think it's verse 4 or 5, it says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's quite a thing. You know, I think if you wanted to think about control, there in some of the countries we spoke about earlier, closed countries where they can control your body, They can put you anywhere, right? They can put you in the deepest dungeon, whatever. But it's another thing to control the mind. And there are some people that can cause the control of other people's minds too, can't they? By, word's gone from me. No, what's the brainwashing, or I think it was called, whatever. And those, some of those would be the methods that might be involved in it. But generally, people are saying, you know, well, you can make me do something, but that doesn't mean I'm doing it on the inside, right? But God wants to invade your territory so much that He wants your head too. He wants your mind, not just your body. That's quite a thing. And it's quite a thing to yield that over to God. And yet the scriptures clearly teaches, in light of who God is, because He's the creator of all things, everything has come from Him, everything goes back to Him, then surrender. Surrender your body and surrender your mind. And the last one is what? Can you find what the last one might be? What's that? Your will. That's right. Because your mind and your body are two things, but the will means the purposes and plans, right? It means what you're going to do, what comes next in your life, that it is not yours. You're not your own. The Bible says you were bought with a price. And so God is looking for that much from you. The question that rises here, how much are you willing to give? Are you willing to lay everything down and say, not my will, but your will be done? I'm willing, Lord, to give you my body, I'm willing to give you my mind, and I'm willing to give you my plans, my future, and the purposes of all my life. I'm willing. And that's a little summary out of Romans 1:12, 1:12, 1 or 2 about what God is calling, the Spirit of God is calling to each one of us. How far along we are in that journey, I don't know. But I want to encourage us to say, Lord, this is what I want in my life. Lord, I'm willing to, first of all, give you my body. And Lord, I want you to have the control of my mind. And on top of all that, I want you to have control over my will. In a sense, when we consider the fall in the Garden of Eden, you discover that these are the three things that were lost. You see, Adam and Eve chose to do something with their bodies that God had said not to do. And what was that? What's that?
Eat of the fruit.
They took the fruit of the tree, right? It went into the body, right? It was to gratify the body for the moment. Some errant teachers teach that Adam and Eve sinned by having sex. That's not true. There are errant teachers that say that. And actually, it's surprising. Sometimes I run into people that says, well, yeah, we know what Adam and Eve's sin was, that they had sex and they shouldn't have. Absolutely not. God had told them to be fruitful and multiply. There's nothing wrong with sex in its right place. They could have had sex any time they wanted. That wasn't an issue. But they did sin with their bodies, and then they sinned with their mind in that they listened to the voice of the wicked one, right? They reasoned that this would be okay. They went down a path where God had told them not, just don't do this. And Satan came and dialogues happened. So there was a sin with the mind. And then there was a sin with the will, which was the culmination, right? It was the purpose. They willed to go contrary to the will of God.
You want to look at that scripture?
We could for a second if you like. That's in Genesis chapter 3. And you see those three things there. What translation are you in, dear?
NLT, but I can change.
Yeah, go to the NKJV, just because I'm familiar with it. And so she enters into the dialogue with the devil here. We see that there's three things he said. A woman's tree was good for food. That was pleasant. That was for the body. Pleasant to the eyes. And a tree desirable to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate. And she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And as a result of that, we find them hiding in the garden, covering up their bodies because they had been used for the wrong purposes. And so we can see there that she reasoned with the devil, that she took it for the body, and also she thought it would make her smart. And in that process, she moved away from the perfect will of God. You just press the back arrow and it'll bring you back, honey.
Okay.
So there's two verses that I would challenge you to memorize. To memorize them, because you'll find them to be a blessing. Those two verses can help you out of a lot of stuff. Isn't there times when you feel confused about what to do next? Or why things may be happening in my life? Or is there times when you're angry because things aren't working out the way you expected? I recently spoke to someone who, as a Christian, had been wronged by someone else. And yet, that person did it legally, shall we say, and actually put them out of a job. But they did it ethically and morally completely the wrong way. Now, this person is facing, everybody's on his side, right? Even the parents, that he was doing part of his business with. And other people, they're all on his side. And they're all telling, what he should do. And it's difficult not to become bitter on the inside because these circumstances have happened. And it wasn't fair. And how do you react in a situation like that? And when there's all this pressure to go in that direction, what do I need to do in that situation? I need to surrender my body. I need to surrender my mind. And I need to surrender my will. If I don't, wouldn't be long before, if you were in that situation and you had a family to feed, it would be easy to become bitter, wouldn't it? And look for some way to try and get that person back. Isn't that the way the world would think? And what does it say here? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And thankfully and wonderfully, this person is looking to the Lord and discovering the fullness of God. And so God is able to meet us, and it's practical. This is not impractical stuff. This is practical. And you will find this to be need to be applied daily in your life. You will find the need to surrender your body to God. The need to surrender your eyes about where they look. Your ears about what they listen to. Right? The need to surrender your mind to God. Don't allow thoughts to run amok in every different direction. Let your thoughts be controlled by the Spirit of God. So that bitterness and anger and hatred and envy and strife and all these things don't get a root in our lives. And if they do, we can confess it, be forgiven, and move on from there. And also that we might know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And that takes us not just the don'ts in life, but now it brings us into the whole do's of life. And that is, God has a plan. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And we might think, well, I think somewhere along the line, either my file card got misplaced, or he sort of left a blank there. But he hasn't. God has a specific purpose for each person in this room, and it is not a small thing. And the rest of Romans is actually going to begin to challenge us about who we are and how we are to interact with others, with the gifts that God has for us and the usage of those gifts. So as we've gone through Romans, we've gone through the foundations of the gospel. And they've been good foundations, haven't they? They've showed us our sin. They showed us God's righteousness. They showed us how to be saved. Haven't we gone through that and seen clearly the way of salvation? They've showed us the real power, the salvation that God brings power to live. They showed us the victories that God has won through us, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and how There's the overcoming power of what Jesus has done in his death and resurrection to bring us into this new life. The promises that he's given to us that he's going to see us safely home. And then we got the opportunity in Romans 9 to see the sovereignty of God and his choices, and that humbles us. And then in Romans 10, the responsibility of people to believe in him and the challenge for us to share that gospel with others. And then once again back to Romans 11, where it teaches how sovereign God is in all of his plans and his doings, and because of that we need to surrender to him in Romans 12. And now we get into some of the practical things about living day to day. And a good portion of the rest of Romans is going to deal with that. It's the practical outcome of the gospel at work in the life of a Christian. And that's where we're going now. So, but it has to start with this here. You could have all the gifts in the world, and you could be given all the instructions about how you're supposed to live, but if you are not willing to surrender to the control of God, you're not going to be able to do it. There are people who try to be good, aren't there? But isn't it hard to be good? Yeah. I need more than my trying to be good. I need the power of God to be at work.
And 100 times since I've heard Paula Morrison say this, I don't know if it was at Bubs or where we were, it was on the same topic, being good. And I'll never forget, she says, you don't have to teach a child to be bad.
Yeah.
It's automatic. You have to teach the child, you know, you say don't touch, they automatically go in.
Yeah.
And it's so, it's 100 times or more I've thought about that.
That's the
so
truth. True. Yeah. It's very true. And that means that...
It's not just a child.
What's that?
It's not just a child.
No, that's true. It's Heather too, right?
Yeah.
But it's the illustration of it. It bears it out from the very beginning. Right. Yeah. Was that good? No, was that good, I mean?
Oh,
yeah, I see. Okay. So as we see these things, we know that, look, the power to be good. And we saw that in Romans 6. We saw that in Romans 7. How he showed us that if you're going to be good, the only way you're going to be good is Jesus Christ doing it in you. That the gospel is more than just the forgiveness of your sins, but it's the power of God to live a new life. And we need his power in that. But we're reminded of that again here in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Any other comments or questions on that? Oh, okay. So 12:3 says, I say then, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And maybe the NLT will read it a little bit more simpler to understand. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. So, what's being brought out in this?
What version was the NLT?
That was the NLT. Okay. Humility is being brought out. Mm-hmm. Why'd you ask, Gaston?
Is the way it said, don't think of yourself better than you are.
Yeah. Yeah, because the other one says, don't, he's not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Yeah.
Pretty plain.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to measure yourself against somebody else.
No, that's true. So you're saying we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other people. Okay, so let me ask you, is there a tendency to compare yourself to others?
Yeah, sure is.
And I mean even